Let's go back to Ecclesiastes 7:29. Now, Darrell didn't. He said something about this the first time. He said this is talking about just about Adam, because the word man there is from the word Adam. Now, I replied that, of course, that's what the word Adam means. It just means man. He named him man. But it's like Genesis 6, verse 7, where he's going to destroy man from the face of the earth in the flood. It's talking about mankind. How do I know this is talking about mankind? That means all men, and ladies too, and not just Adam, because it said God has made man upright, but they, not he, have sought out many inventions. Not that they had just done one sin, ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but that's pretty clear. Were you taught in grade school? What grade were you taught that the pronoun will match its antecedent in number? They is plural, right? That means man has to be plural. Well, how can man be plural? If it's not talking about one man, but if it's talking about all men in the sense of mankind, it would be plural. They have sought out many inventions. Again, inventions is plural. That's a funny word in the King James, inventions that's changed over the course of time, the word. In the New King James, it says sinful schemes. It's not just singular, one sin, eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's many inventions, many sins. This is talking about God made all of mankind upright, not just Adam. That gets Darrell when he was an infant. That gets me. That gets every one of us. And that proves Darrell's position wrong. He made an argument, I believe. I'm not accusing him of dishonesty. He didn't realize this. He made an argument that he didn't even believe. He knows that this word man doesn't just mean Adam, but he made the argument anyway because it was convenient to answer this argument. He's got enough Greek knowledge to know that. He knows about Genesis 6, verse 7, and there's hundreds of passages in the Old Testament where this word is used to talk about mankind. It's not talking about Adam except in the first few chapters. God made man upright. He knows that's talking about mankind. But they have sought out many inventions. Did he look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20? Everybody turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. Turn quickly, because I'm trying to turn myself, and I don't want to waste a lot of time. Remember what I said about that? Who's he talking about in verse 29? Verse 20 says, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." That's not talking about Adam, that's talking about all of us. Verse 28, "Which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not one man among them of a thousand I have found." He's saying, I've only found one out of a thousand men that doeth good and sinneth not. He's not even found a single woman. Now maybe he's exaggerating here, I don't know. But that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about all of mankind. He has out of one man out of a thousand, he's found as good and walks uprightly. He says, "Below this only have I found that God made men upright." In other words, he can't find many righteous men, one out of a thousand. But it's not God's fault, because God made all of them upright. But they sought out many inventions. That's why he can't find many righteous men. Because they sought out many inventions. Now, Darrell, you need to answer that. Now, everybody turn to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. And let's deal with what Darrell said. Darrell read in Ezekiel 18, verse 20, looking at the context, he read where some people committed sins, and he says, well, this can't be an infant, therefore it's not talking about infants. Of course, infants don't sin. The whole point of this section is that if a father sins, let's say he commits adultery with somebody, the son is not going to bear that iniquity. He's not going to inherit it. That's why we talk about an adult sinning, because the whole point is that the children are not going to inherit that. Now let's look at Ezekiel 18, verse 2. He says, "What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel." The reason this chapter was written, this section, was to get rid of this false proverb that a man can eat sour grapes and the children's teeth would be set on edge. Like, for example, if I ate some sour grapes, that my children's would get an upset stomach. And that's a false proverb, and he wants to set it straight. And that's why he's writing this. That when the father sins, or eats the sour grapes as the illustration, the children's teeth won't be set on edge. Do you ever eat ice cream and it gets your teeth cold, maybe? Do you think your children's teeth are getting cold at the same time? He's saying, that's not right. I'm going to set that story straight. It's not true. His point, though, is sin. That's his point. Now, it says children there, right? Now, let's go to the section that talks about this father sinning and what about him begetting a child, since we're talking about an infant. Verse 14. Before verse 14, leading up to that, he's talking about a father committing sin. And Darrell pointed that out. Verse 14, "And lo, this father who's sinning,
if he beget a son, what's that talking about? Conception, right? That seeth all his father's sin, this is after he grows up, which he hath done, and considereth and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither have oppressed. Now these are things he didn't do, though his father did all these things. Neither hath oppressed any that hath not withholden the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence. These are things his father did, but the son didn't. But hath given his bread to the hungry, hath covered the naked with a garment, he's helping people. That hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received usury nor increase, hath executed my judgments, hath walked in my statutes. He shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. So here's a father that's committing all these sins. He begets, conceives an infant. Then that infant grows up to maturity and does not commit these sins. He shall surely live. But according to Daryl, he's going to be lost because that of the father's sins. He's going to be held guilty for that. He may not say that he was lost, but that would be the consistent position. But according to Daryl, he's going to be held accountable for his father's sins. But the whole reason for this passage being written is to show that he won't be held accountable for his father's sins. Though his father committed all these sins, and then he begets this child, conception, infant, read that there, Daryl, then when he matures, he didn't commit these sins, but instead he helps others, he will not be held accountable for his father's sins. Daryl says that he will. Daryl says that he will. That's what verse 19, verse 20 is talking about. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. When that father begets that son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. When he begets him. Now you should answer the question, Daryl. Did Seth bear or inherit the iniquity of his father, Adam? Did he or did he not? Now if you say he did, then you contradict Ezekiel 18:20.
Are you
answer that in your speech. Okay?
Okay.
If, hold my time, James. If Daryl, he might want to take 10 or 15 minutes to answer, so I'll let him answer in his speech. I want you to answer that in your speech. If he did inherit the sin of Adam, then that contradicts Ezekiel 18:20. And if it didn't, it contradicts your position.
You're between a rock and a hard place, aren't you, Daryl?
Now, he asked about the age of accountability. Well, I believe he believes in the age of accountability. At least I think that he does. But he asked me to prove it. So everybody turn to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 15. It says, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good, but before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, and so forth. That's talking about age of accountability, obviously. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 11, and there are other passages too. Jonah 4, verse 11, he says, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 64,000 persons that cannot discern between the right hand and their left? That gets you, doesn't it, Carol? Teasing her. She says right hand to me, turn right up here, and she means left. You may have a wife like that too, I don't know. Anyway, this is talking about people who are not responsible yet. Like my little son Wesley back there. They're not responsible. They don't know the difference between right and wrong. They don't even know the difference between the right hand or the left. That's the age of accountability. Now let's go back to Romans 5. We won't spend too much time on that. He said his illustration about the carton there is easier to understand. But you know, illustrations only illustrate. They don't prove anything, right? My illustration with Jackie Robinson was patterned after what the text said. His illustration about the carton there just illustrated what he said. You get the difference? Mine illustrated what the text said. His illustrated nothing from the Bible. There was nothing illustrated from the Bible. Now let's go back. I'm going to spend less time on this since I did spend a lot of time on it last time, and he objected to that in a way. He said it was too complicated, so let's make it simple. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world. That's exactly what I believe. That's through Adam, sin entered into the world. Like, how did blacks enter into Major League Baseball? By one man, Jackie Robinson. And death by sin, and then the last part explains this. So death cast upon all men because Adam sinned. Nope. That's what Daryl says. Did you get it, Kitty? Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Daryl acts like this passage helps prove his position, but this passage proves my position beyond any shadow of a doubt. It says that sin entered the world through Adam, But death, and this is spiritual death, not physical death. Daryl, please pay attention to that. That's how you get mixed up a little bit. You think I'm talking about physical death sometimes, not spiritual. Spiritual death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's exactly what I'm teaching tonight. We die spiritually because of our sin, not because of Adam's sin.
10 minutes.
Daryl said he doesn't know why infants are saved, but they are. I appreciate his honesty. He doesn't know why, because they have original sin. He would wonder why they're not going to be lost, because how do they get rid of that original sin? They should be lost, but he believes they're saved. And Daryl explained that to me in a phone conversation, and that's fine. That's what he believes. But you know, that brings up, really what it brings up is the consequence of his position. He knows the consequence of his position would be that infants who die in infancy would be lost because they had that original sin. It should cause them to be lost. That's what sin does. He knows that should be the consequence of his position, but he doesn't believe it. And I'm thankful he doesn't believe it. It would be a horrible thing to believe that infants, all infants who die in infancy are going to be lost if they had no chance to get rid of that sin. But we know infants don't die. Infants that die aren't lost, because remember, David had a son as a result of his adultery with Bathsheba. Because of that adultery and because he murdered Uriah, God punished him by causing his son to die. But David said, when they asked him after he died, why did he stop fasting and praying? He said, I'm not going to do that anymore. You know, he's already dead. There's nothing, I can't change it now. And he said, he won't come to me, but I will go to him. He knew that infant was going to heaven. Now, how could that infant go to heaven if he had sin on him? If he was born in sin, he couldn't. David knew he was going to heaven. We all know that infants are going to heaven. This proves it. That proves they don't have any sin. Daryl knows that's the consequence of his position. If they had original sin and they died without being regenerated and getting rid of it, forgiven for it, they would be lost. That's exactly why the Catholics baptize those saints, his infants. To get rid of that original sin. Like I said, one false doctrine leads to another. He knows the consequence of his position. David knew that infant son, he would see him in heaven, because evidently he knew there was no such thing as inherited original sin. And then Daryl said that physical death and spiritual death come from the same tree. That's absolutely wrong. The word death means separation. I think Daryl knows that. Physical death is the separation of body from spirit, James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, even so faith without works is dead. Spiritual death is the separation from our spirit from God. Remember, your iniquities have separated from you and your God. Isaiah 59:2. That's spiritual death. It's not necessarily connected to physical death at all. Okay? For example, James here pointed out to me that Enoch died spiritually, meaning he sinned. He didn't live without sin. Only Jesus did that. But he didn't die physically. Remember that, Daryl? He never died physically. But he did die spiritually. Physical death and spiritual death aren't necessarily connected. Now, what did God tell Adam and Eve would happen in the day that ate of that tree? In that day, they would die. Did they die physically that day? No. Was God a liar then? No. They died spiritually that day. They were separated from God by their sin. And they were then kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Their access to the tree of life was gone, so they eventually died physically. But their physical death happened years after the spiritual death. It says that Adam lived hundreds and hundreds of years. I forget how long. But it was hundreds and hundreds of years after he died spiritually when he ate of that tree. See, and this is what I was mentioning a while ago. Daryl, this is a completely honest mistake on your part. You said, how if a person dies because of their sin, how does a baby die before it commits sin? I'm talking about personal sin. I think you misunderstood me. I wasn't talking about physical death. I was talking about spiritual death, which I've just proven is two different things. Spiritual death results from your own personal sin. And I don't believe there is anything other than personal sin, but I was using that in contrast to his original sin that you inherit. Spiritual death. So a baby dies physically. He's never sinned. He doesn't have any original sin. He dies physically, one, from whatever ailment he has, but two, because he doesn't have access to the tree of life anymore, does he? That's how Adam and Eve were going to live physically forever, because they had access to the tree of life. When they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden because of their sin, God guarded that tree of life. They couldn't get back in there to live physically forever. So the baby dies physically because he doesn't have access to the tree of life. We die spiritually as a result of our sin. Not physical death. Okay?
Now, I appreciate Daryl responding to my argument. Most won't do this. When I brought out that if we inherit sin, why didn't Jesus inherit sin? And if he did, he couldn't have died for our sin. Daryl responded to it. He gave us a good little diagram up here. I give him a C for how good he draws, but I'll give him a B for the argument. Okay? But the argument won't wash. Now, he did show a difference between Jesus and us that Jesus didn't have an earthly father. But Jesus had an earthly mother. That argument would only make sense if Jesus' mother, Mary, didn't have the original sin. Daryl, is that what you believe? Do you believe in the Immaculate Conception? I don't think he does. Now, Mary had sin, and Jesus inherited from her. So if she had original sin according to him, Jesus would have inherited original sin from her, even though he didn't have an earthly father. I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but we've read about clones. They clone animals. They may clone humans. If they were to clone a human, let's say a lady, what that means is they're making a human being without having the father. Okay? It just comes from the DNA of the mother. I don't know exactly how it works, but it comes from the DNA only of the mother, not the father. That means, when they say clone, you know what clone means, right? It looks alike. Everything's the same. It's like having a twin 20 years after you were born. If you got blonde hair, it's going to have blonde hair. If you got blue eyes, it's going to have blue eyes. Because there's no father with real dark hair to change the hair color. You know what I'm saying? It's going to have your DNA all the way through. Now, according to Daryl's position, since Mary was the mother of Jesus, then he would have had inherited original sin because she did. Not because, yeah, I agree, he didn't have an earthly father, but she did. Unless you believe like the Catholics in the Immaculate Conception, and that is that she was born without original sin. You believe that, Daryl? Do you believe that theory of the Immaculate Conception by the Catholics? Okay, I'll talk to you about it later. It basically means that God miraculously kept Mary from having original sin when she was born. So that when Jesus was born, then he wouldn't have original sin. See how they're getting around it? They're in the same dilemma you are about Jesus having original sin. They made up original sin. They invented it. And they're in this dilemma. Why didn't Jesus have it? And they said, well, when Mary was born, God kept her from having original sin. They call it the Immaculate Conception. That's what it is, Daryl. That's what you need to believe in so you can be consistent. You need to take that doctrine, the Immaculate Conception, so you can make a good argument here. But your argument won't hold water. What you got is Jesus, quote, being a clone, in the sense you're talking about, from Mary, but not inheriting the bond hair. She had original sin, but he didn't inherit it from her, though she had it. It wouldn't make a bit of difference about whether or not she had an earthly father. She had an earthly mother with original sin. Now, what's the point of all this? The point is, I read you passages that said that Jesus was made just like we are, flesh and blood. That's not blasphemy. That's talking about the earthly part of him, the human part of him. He was fully man. That didn't take away from the fact that he was God. He was tempted in all points like as we are. So he was a man without sin. Great accomplishment. That means that if we have original sin, he's got it. But the flip side is also true. If he didn't have it, then we don't have it. There's no way you can get around that argument. There's absolutely no way you can get around that argument. You can try, and again, I'd ask you, why would you try to get around it anyway? Why not just accept what the Bible says? He was made like us, we were made like him. He couldn't have had original sin, because if he did, he'd have died for that. He couldn't have died for our sin, therefore we don't have original sin. And then he brought up Psalms 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. First of all, let's deal with this shapen in iniquity. Let's say I use that same phrase, born in a tongue. Does born in a tongue, Acts 2:8, mean the audience was born speaking, or that they were born into an environment that taught them that tongue? That's what it says in Acts 2:8, they were born in a tongue. Does that mean they were born speaking, or they were born into an environment that taught them that tongue, like English? That's shaping in iniquity. Doesn't mean then that they were born sinning, but it means they were born or shaken into an environment that taught them to sin. Now, this is for a little humor. Kitty told me that Daryl was born in a potato patch. He was born so far out in the country. Does that make Daryl potato? What? No, Kitty, I'm just teasing. Just making a joke. Just a joke. Now, let's talk about in sin did my mother conceive me. Look at this. In sin did my mother conceive me. If I said, in anger did my brother hit me, does that indicate I was in angry? That I was angry or that my brother was angry? In anger did my brother hit me. So that indicates when it says, in sin did my mother conceive me, that the mother was sin, not David was in sin when he was conceived. Thank you very much.